Begin the current daf Masechtas Megillah daf Chafei. Begin on the bottom line, the last word in daf Chaf Dal Mabez, where we continue with the next Mishnah, continuing the related vein from the previous Mishnah, which was continuing on the themes of previous Mishnahs, which the topic of this parak of this first parakim in Masechtas Megillah was talking about the Kriyas Megillah, which then we got into Kriyas Atayra, which then got into that's part of Tefillah with the Tefillah Betzibur. And in the last Mishnah, we discussed regarding the related halachas of tefillah and how they relate to heretical views of tefillah. So on that theme, the Mishnah continues with heretical views regarding to tefillah to prayer. So the Mishnah says, Ha'imer, if someone says the continuing type of chafeyam and alf, yivrechucha tayvim. Someone says to Hashem that let the good ones bless you. Harezu derech aminis. That's a heretical view because he's not including the wicked in the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the sages tell us in Kriyas Davov HaMabez from one of the types of the Keteris is the Chelbana, which actually has a bad smell, yet it's counted amongst the spice of the Keteris because the Pasuk actually requires the Chelbana. Without it, it's not valid for the Ritzo, for the appeasement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the entirety of the Jewish people, even including the wicked, are necessary to be tied together. And therefore, if he's saying that only the good should bless Hashem, that's a heretical view. If someone says, Al kan tzipor yagi rachamecha, that on the nest of the bird, Hashem, your mercy should reach, like we find in the midst of Shiluch HaKen, so to Hashem, you should have mercy on us. Or, Val toiv yizachar shemecha, if someone says that on the good, Hashem, your name should be recalled, meaning on the good, we give you thanks. Or if let's say he says two times, Maidim, Maidim, when he's kneeling by in Shemayna Esri, in Amida, by Maidim, so he says the word Maidim, thanks, two times. So Mishaskin, I say, in all these situations, we silence him, as the Gemara will explain what's the reason for this problematic statement. Moreover, says the Mishnah, Machana ba'arais. If someone makes a euphemistic interpretation of the immoral relationships mentioned in the Torah, which the Gemara is going to explain, that what he does is he expounds the Parsha of Arais in like a euphemism. In other words, he's saying, no, the Pasuk is a mashal, it's a metaphor, it's not really talking about illicit relations. Rather, the Torah is saying it in a way, euphemistically, where it's talking about when it's talking about Megala Erva, which literally means to say, if someone reveals the nakedness that it regarding illicit relationships, the person says no. If someone reveals the embarrassment of his father and his mother in public, and that's how he interprets the whole parasha of the Arayis, Mishaskan Isa, again, we silence him because that's not true. It is the literal translation of Gila Arayis. So to Ha'imer, if someone says similarly, a pasuk in Yikram, which literally means to say that from your children, your descendants, you should not give them over to the Savoy Dezar of Melech, which would they would pass them between the fire. And he says, no, it doesn't mean literally. It means to say, don't have relations with a non-Jewish woman, then you'll have a child that will be born for idolatry, so don't give to become pregnated from an Aramean, from a non-Jewish woman. That's what it means. Zaracha le'sitin lahavar la'melech. Don't give over your seed to become impregnated from a non-Jewish, from an idol worshiper. Again, Meshaskan Eisab and Nazifa, we strongly silence him because he's uprooting the pasuk from this little translation, which is regarding the idolatrous practice of the Amorim, which they would actually pass their children amongst the fire. And according to his newfangled interpretation, he's actually giving a punishment of karis if someone has relations with a non-Jewish woman, which if he does it by mistake, liable for chatas, and if he does it deliberately with a warning to get a chiv mises besen, which is not the case. It just means like the literal translation of the practice of Melech, not the way he's euphemistically interpreting regarding having relations with a non-Jewish woman. So the Gemara explains the halacha of our Mishnah. Bishlam and Maidim Maidim, we understand if someone says two times when he's saying Maidim Anachnu, when we're giving thanks to Hashem, says two times the word Maidim, that we silence him, because the Mechzik is Shtei Rishuyis, because it looks like as if there's two different Chas V'Shalom powers, and he's giving thanks to one God and then to another one. So therefore we silence him, because there's no two thanks. There's one thanks to Hashem. Also, v'altav yizachar shemecha nami, you understand regarding the problematic statement of, on the good your name should be called. The mashmal tayvin, because that sounds like, yeah, only for the good Hashem should be recalled. Val ra'loi, but we're not going to thank him for the bad. But it's not. The Mishnah teaches Masechtas Berachah, it's not like that. The Mishnah says, Cha'ayiv odim levarach al ra, a person is obligated to give a blessing for the bad, which the Berachah, Baruch Dayin Emes, blessed is the true judge. Just like he makes a blessing on the good, which is the bracha of Hateva Meitiv, who Hashem is good and he does good. So we understand why that was a problematic statement. But this, that if someone says a prayer, then on the nest of the bird Hashem, your mercy should reach, and so too we should also have the same mercy, which again, that's the mitzvah Shaluch HaKin, that a person has to send away the mother bird and can't rip away the child from the mother bird when it's there. My timer, what's the problem of that prayer? So it's a machlekes amaram in Eretz Yisrael in the West. Rabbi Yisibar Oven, Rabbi Yisibar Zvida. Chadama once said, because he's creating envy amongst the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they're going to say, oh, Hashem only has mercy on the birds, but on the domesticated animals and the wild animals, he doesn't have that mitzvah. So to avoid that, one should not make such a prayer. And the other one says, the problem of this prayer is because he's making the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mercy, and they're only decrees of the king. The reason why Hashem gave us the mitzvah wasn't because he has rachmanis and compassion on the bird. It was for us to take upon his yoke, where he tells us, his servants, who keep his mitzvahs, what to do. And that's why there's such a mitzvah. But people are saying, oh, it's because of his mercy, and therefore have mercy on us. That's the problem of that prayer. Now, the Gemara says, related to inappropriate prayers, Ahud Nachas Kameh Rabbah. There was a certain person who went in front of Rabbah to go ahead and daven. And Amar, he said, Ata chastal kantzipar Hashem, you had mercy on the nest of the bird. Ata chutz v'rachmalenu, so you have mercy and compassion on us. And some have the girsa, Ata chastal loisaves, but no, you had mercy on the animal not to slaughter the child and the mother on the same day. Ata chutz v'rachmalenu, you should also have mercy and compassion on us. Some Rabbah said, wow, kama yodahai merabbanon, l'ritzu l'mari, how well does this rabbinical student know how to petition his master, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Abaya said to him, but we learned that we sound such a person. What do you mean? To take the precedence of the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKen as a precedence? We said that that's inappropriate. Says the Gemara, yeah, Rabba l'chadudi l'abai hudabai. He wanted to sharpen the bai to see if he's going to catch on and ask him, and that's what he wanted to say. No, it was not an appropriate prayer. Similarly, Ahud Nachas Kamid Reb Chanina, was a certain person went down to pray in front of Reb Chanina, and Amay said, Hakela Gadol, the great God, Hagibur, the mighty one, Vanayr, the awesome one, Ha'adah, the glorious one, Vachazik, the strong one, Va'amitz, and the powerful one. So Amalei, so Reb Chanina said to him, Siamtinu l'shivchei demarach, did you finish all the praise of your master? He said that what you said was inappropriate, because Hashte Haniklasa, if the three terminologies that we do say, he loved the Chasvina Moshe Baraisa. Had Moshe Rabbeinu not written it in the Torah, as we find the pasuk in Devarim Yud, where Moshe Rabbeinu says those terms, Hakel Hagadol, Hagiber, VaNaira, Ashal Yisafan, and VaAsu Knesek Del V'Tekninu. So had Moshe Rabbeinu not written it, and the men of the Great Assembly instituted, as we find in Sefer Ezra, a pasuk in the Nechemiah Tes, where the pasuk says, VaAta Elikenu, Hakel Hagadol, Hagiber, VaNaira, Shem HaBris VaChesed, and the Asu Knesek Del then instituted it to be part of Shemayna Esrei, if they didn't do that, Anan Laimin Lahu, we would not have said even Hagadol Hagibav Anayra. It's just that Moshe Rabbeinu said it, and the Nachik Nesek Deila said it, so we say it in our Shemayna Esrei. Vad Amar Kulehai, and you're saying more terminologies of things that they didn't say, of Ha'adr, Achazik, Va'amit. So he says, Mashal Adam, this could be compared to a person, Shahoylo Elif, Alfe, Alafim, Din Rezav, a person that had thousands upon thousands of thousands of golden coins. And someone was praising him and said, wow, you know this person? He has 1,000 silver coins. It's an embarrassment. That's what you're praising him? You're saying how awesome he is? He has 1,000 silver coins. The guy has millions of golden coins. Same thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't say praise because it's actually degrading, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By giving praise, what the Anshak and Ezek Adela said, we could say, but nothing more. Another teaching from Amr B'Chanina. It says, Hakol b'dei shemayim, everything is in the hand of heaven. Chutz miyur shemayim, except for the fear of heaven. Meaning, the one thing that was given over to the human being's control is that he could prepare his heart for the fear of God. Because although that's even in Hashem's domain, to prepare our heart to him, like the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Yudches, hinikachayim b'yad yetzer, like clay, like putty in the hand of the potter, so too are you, the Jewish people, in Hashem's in my hands, says Hashem. And like the pasuk says in Yecheskel Amud Vav, v'asireisis leva evan b'sachem, I will remove the stone, the heart of stone from your flesh. But that was given to a person's domain. That's the one thing he has that a person could also prepare his heart to fear God. But everything else in the hand of heaven. Shem says the pasuk in Devarim. V'ati Yisrael, and now you, the Jewish people, ma Hashem lekecha shalom imach. What exactly does God, Hashem, your God, ask of you? Kiyim liyira, but to fear him. Because that's the only thing he's asking from you. Everything else is out of your control. Now, the Gemara wonders, but when it says kiyim liyira, as if, like, only to fear him, mechlal diyira milsas atrasi, is that to say that fearing God is a small thing, like only this, like as if it's not a big deal? But to have your shemayim is a huge thing. Says Gemara, in yes, because who was saying this? Moshe Rabbeinu. Legabe Moshe Rabbeinu milsas atrasi, in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a small thing. So although it's big, but for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was small. As the Gemara explains, Mashal Adam, this can be compared to a person, Shemevakshim in a clay gadol. They're asking from him a big vessel, meaning it is a big deal. But Vyeshla, he has it. So Demilov can click cut, and for him, it looks like a small thing. It's like, you know the famous Vardav. It's not famous, and it's a big thing, but you know it already. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he had it. So for him, it looked like a small thing. But you're right, Katan Ve'einloy, if it's a small thing, but a person doesn't have it, Demilov can click gadol is like a big thing. So that's the way it is. Yiras Shemayim is a big thing. And for a person, because we don't have it, but when the person has, like Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's like a small thing. And if he said, what's Hashem already asking from you but to fear? Now, continuing on the theme of the halach of our Mishnah, Amar B'zeri says, Ha'im Shema Shema, when someone's saying the pasuk of Shema, and he says the word Shema two times, Ka'im Maidim Maidim Dami. It's the same problem as we said in the Mishnah of saying the word Maidim thanks twice, like as if you're talking to two different powers. So Shema is also the same thing. Here, who's here? Why saying two different times? It's the same problem. However, Mesir, the Gemara asks on this from the following brisa. Hakari Shema B'Kayfla, if someone says the parasha of Shema and repeats it, Harizim Maguna, so that's, it's disgraceful. But the inference is Maguna Hudavi, it's disgraceful. But Shatukala Mishtakinla, but we don't silence him. But if you're saying that saying Shema twice, like saying Maidim twice, by Maidim we say we silence him. Here, why are we saying just that it's Maguna? So the Gemara Lekash, it's not difficult. Because Hadam and Milsa V'Tanila. One of them is talking about where you say each word and repeat the word a second time. So there it doesn't look like you're talking to two different domains. It's just maguna. It's embarrassing. It's stupid. It's foolish. Like, if you're talking to, you wouldn't say to two powers, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael. You wouldn't say that. You would say a whole sentence and say it. Here, if you're repeating it twice, obviously it's not that you're talking to two powers, but again, it's maguna because why are you repeating the word two times? Hadam psuka batanila. When did we say that it's like saying the word maidim twice? Is when you say the whole pasuk and then you repeat a second time. That sounds like you're saying the one statement to one, chas shama, another one to another one. That's when we say that it's like maidim, that mishaskan, I said that we silent them. However, Amalei Rav Papa LeRava, he says, but what's the problem that you're repeating it? The dilma mikar lekivin daita. You're saying you can't say the pasuk and then say it over again. Why? Maybe in the beginning he didn't have kavana, and Shema, the requirement is actually one has to have kavana to be yaitza. So maybe he didn't have intent originally. And now he's having kavana. Maybe that's why he's repeating it. Why do we say that we silence him? So Madam Malay Rabba said to him, Chavrusa klap Shmaya, like what, friends, pals, chas Hashem, towards heaven? Like as if when a person acts with a friend, that's how he acts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to talk without focus, without being mindful. And then when he repeats the second time, he's showing that he didn't have in mind. That's not appropriate. Eloi mechaven daite, if a person does not have focus, mechinu le ba'ar paspo denafcha, we hit him over the head with a hammer of a blacksmith, ad mechaven daite, until he has focus. Meaning, to have that as a practice is inappropriate to say it and then say it again. And therefore, we don't allow that because kavan is a requisite. And therefore, you can't be just like palsy, like it would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, repeating over the pasuk a second time. And actually, when you do that, you're showing that you didn't have the focus. Now, the Mishnah said, HaMachana Barayis Mashaskan, I say, also, if someone interprets the psukim of the illicit relationships in the Torah euphemistically, so then we silence him. So, Tanur of Yosef, he explained, what does it mean to euphemistically interpret the pasuk of Erva Savicha Ve'erva Simecha? It would mean someone that's saying that you can't reveal the embarrassment of your father and the embarrassment of your mother to say something that they'll be embarrassed from. That's how the person interprets it, which that's false, and therefore we silence that person. Similarly, the Mishnah said, if someone interprets and translates when it says, don't give up from your seeds to pass over to the Melech, so if he does that inappropriately, like we said, to become impregnated from a non-Jewish woman who's then the child's going to worship of a tzar, we strongly silence him. So here also Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, he interprets, what does the mission mean? It's where, like a person who says, B'Yisrael haba l'kutis. It's talking about a Jewish man who has relations with a non-Jewish woman. V'ha'il memen ben l'avei d'zara, and he gives birth to a son who's now going to worship avei d'zara. That's our cousin Madava. That's the pasuk talking about. When saying, mezaracha, from your seed, le'sit, and don't give that seed, la'haver, that it should become passed over, like impregnated, la'meilich, to then that seed's going to worship avei d'zara. Again, that's not the interpretation. Therefore, we strongly silence such a person who makes such a prayer. Now, continuing with the theme of a previous Mishnayos, which was talking about the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. So the Mishnah says, Maaser Reuven. The incident with Reuven, where, as the Pasuk says in Bereishis Lamehei, V'yishkav es Bilha Pelegesh Ovid, that he lay with Bilha, the concubine of his father, which is a disgraceful story of Reuven. So Nikra, it's read, as we lay in the whole Torah in the Shul, but V'lei Metargim. where in Talmudic times, they in Mishnaic times, they would translate it into Aramaic. So we're concerned for the disgrace of Reuven. So therefore, we don't translate into Aramaic. So to Maisa Tamar, this incident of Tamar with Yehuda is Nikra Umetargum. There actually, it's read and it's even translated, as the Gemara will explain. Maisa Egel HaRishon, the first narrative of the golden calf, which was the whole parasha of the Egel until where it says in Shema Yisrael Mebeis that they burnt it in the fire, is Nikra Umetargum. That's read and it's translated into Aramaic. Now, Vasheni, but the second narrative, where Aaron then subsequently goes and says over the whole story, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked, what did they do to cause you to do this thing? That's called the second narrative of the Egel, where there he says the words, as we'll say in the Gemara, Vayetze ha'Egel hazeh, as if it came out on its own. So therefore, there it's Nikra v'lo mitargem. You read it in the Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not translated into Aramaic. And all these reasons of reading but not translating to Aramaic, those who are Talmid Chacham, they'll understand the parasha. But the ignoramuses and those who don't fully understand the Torah, they only know the Aramaic translation. So they're not going to be able to discern and understand that when the Pasuk says it came out on its own, as if there's a power, Chas Hashem, to the golden calf itself, they don't understand the Pasuk. So you can read it, but you can't translate to Aramaic because they won't understand as if that there wasn't any power for the golden calf. Continues the Mishnah, where actually here there's two different girsais, as we have it, is Birchas Kahanim, the blessing of the Kahanim. And Maisa David va'Amnon, the incident of David and Amnon, meaning his son Amnon, who violated his sister Tamar, Nikron v'leim etargumen. They're read, but they're not translated in Aramaic, which other Gersayis in the Rishayim have it that no, Birchas Kahanim is read and not translated, and the story of David and Amnon is not read and not translated. Moreover, continues the Mishnah, imaftin b'markava, we don't lain for the Haftarah in the Nach, that of the Meister Merkava, which has the great Kabbalistic secrets about the chariot of God. But Rabbi Yudamata, he permits that as the custom of reading of Meister Merkava. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, imaftin, we don't have the Haftarah of Behaide es Yerushalayim, make it known to Yerushalayim, where it says, es toivaseh, all her abominations, which is the parasha in Yecheskel, we don't lay in such Haftarah. Now, talking about one of the brayser that elaborates on this halacha of our Mishnah, yesh nikrin metargmin. There are certain parashas that are read and translated to Aramaic. Yesh nikrin mele metargmin. There are those that are read and not translated into Aramaic. Yesh loy nikrin mele metargmin. There are those which are not read and not translated into Aramaic. Which at the end we're going to explain that referring to the story of David and Amnon, where we don't read that at all as a haftarah. It's not read and it's therefore obviously not translated into Aramaic. So says the Braisa, Eil Nikrin Metargumin. These are read and translated into Aramaic, and Balas Akan Nushpa Simon, which each letter refers to a different parasha, that's mnemonic to recall these that are read and they're translated into Aramaic. So first there's the Beis, which is Maisa Bereishis, the acts of creation, which is the beginning of the Torah. Nikrin Metargum, it's read for the public on the parasha of the week, and as was the custom in Talmudic times, they translated into Aramaic. Says Gemara Peshitta, obviously, why wouldn't we? Says the Gemara, what would you say? People are then going to start asking, mala, 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 mata, what's on top, what's on the bottom? Which the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yad Alfam Beis says, if someone looks and analyzes on four things, it's fit for the person to have not come to the world, which includes what's on top, what's on the bottom, meaning to say what's beyond our conceptual understanding of on top and the bottom, beyond the world. And the Gemara explains over there, because the king Hashem didn't want that they should recall his name, that the world was created on nothingness, which is almost like a palace built on a garbage dump. So we didn't want people to, if you're going to start reading Maaseh Bereishis with the creation of the world, people are going to start asking, wait, it was created ex nihilo, what was before? And then Ketin Timid Beis, Uma Lefnim, which Taisa explains means to say, what was before the 6 days of creation? Uma Le'ocher, what's after the world's going to be done? So we might start asking these types of questions, and therefore you would think maybe better not to read it and translate it into Aramaic. Kamash Malan, that's what the Bryce is saying, that no, we read it and we translate it into Aramaic. So to Maisa Light v'shtei b'naisim, the story of Light and his two daughters, that they had relations with him, Nikra Metargum, it's read and it's translated. Says Gemara Peshitta, obviously, why not? Says Gemara Ma'adu Teima Nechash Lech Vayda Avram, what would you say? Maybe we should be concerned for the dignity of his relative, of Avram Avinu, and that's disgraceful for him. And therefore, he actually moved away. Kamash Malan, that's what he's saying, that no, we read it and we translate it. So to Maisa Tamar of Yehuda, the incident of Tamar and Yehuda, is Nikra Metargum, where Yehuda went and he found the Zayna, which is actually his daughter-in-law, but he didn't know, and he had relations with her, and from out of that came the Davidic dynasty. So we read it and we translate into Aramaic. So it's Gemara Peshitta, obviously, why not? Says Gemara, what would you say? Maybe we should be, which is the concept of all those that we don't read or translate. To many of them are because of the dignity of what the incident is referring to, like we said by Reuven. So you think maybe concerned for the lechved Yehuda, for the dignity of Yehuda, not to translate or to read it. No, to the contrary, that's what we're saying, that it's actually his praise. The Aidi, which actually is many comment, that that's what made him into the Yehuda. The Yehuda Kachay, that he admitted and he took responsibility, that he admitted to his sin. To the contrary, it's actually talking about his praise, and therefore we read it and we translate it. So to Maisa Egel Rishon, the first narrative of the golden calf, is Nikar Metargum, it's read and it's translated. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously, why not? Says Gemara Ma'ad Tema Lech Shalich Vaidin Shalich Yisrael, what would you say? We should be concerned for the dignity of the Jewish people, where they went right after Gebal Satara and they committed one of the biggest sins of the golden calf, Kamash Malan. That's what we have to tell you, that no, Kolshkin Deniklu, to the contrary, the Jewish people actually would prefer that. To have a lukapar, that through that reading, it'll be an atonement for them, that people learn, see what could happen, and therefore actually they would want that to be read. So to klalos ubrachis, the curses and the blessings for those who keep the or don't keep the words of the Torah, nikrun metargumen, are read and translated. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously. Says Gemara, no, ma'adutem menechesh, maybe you would say that we should be concerned. The mafaiga da'atayu de tzibura, that we should be concerned, that what people will have what's called chalishas adas. They'll give up hope when they'll hear all the punishments. They can say, you know what, better enjoy and have pleasure from this world as much as we can, because we're going to get punished anyway. Kamash Bulan, that's what we say, that no, we're not concerned with that, and we read the klalos and the brachas. Asharas v'ainshin, the prohibitions in the Torah, and their punishments, nikun metargumen, are read and translated. So it's more pshita, obviously. Says, you know, no, ma'adetema, what would you say, nechish, we should be concerned, dilma osel mevet meyir, that people are going to start keeping the Torah out of fear of the curses, and of the punishments, and they're not going to do it l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. Kamash b'la, that's what comes to say. No, we're not concerned from that. That yeah, there's the feature of Meira and Mehava, and we're not concerned of reading the Azharis and the Ancient. So do Maisa Amnon b'Tamar, the incident with Amnon who violated his sister Tamar, Nikra Metagam, is read and is translated. Maisa Avshalom, the incident with Avshalom, also the son of David HaMelech, with the Pelegish, that he had relations with that of the concubines of his father, Nikra Metargum, it's read and it's translated. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously, why not? Says Gemara Ma'adetem Aleichesh Likur de David, what would you say? You should be concerned for the honor, the dignity of their father David. Kamash Balan, that we're not concerned from that. Maisa Pelegish Begiva, the incident with the concubine of Giva, where she was violated, and this caused a whole civil war amongst the Jewish people against Sheva ben Yamin, Nikra Metargum, it's read and it's translated. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously. Says Gemara Ma'adetem Aleichesh Likur de David, what would you say? You should be concerned for the honor and the dignity of Sheva ben Yamin. Kamash Balan, that's what we're saying, that we're not concerned from that. So to the what it says in Sefer Yecheskel, Haydes Yerushalayim es Tovaseha, no, let it be known to Yerushalayim her abominations, is Nikra Metargum, it's read and it's translated. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously, why not? Says Gemara Lafukim and Rebbe Eliezer, which we learned in our Mishnah, the time we learned in the Braisa, the Maisa Ba'adim Echad was incident with a person, Shayikar Lamal Rebbe Eliezer, who was reciting in front of Rebbe Eliezer, Haydes Yerushalayim es Tovaseha, he was reading that in public, that of to let Yerushalayim know her abominations. Samalai, he said to him, Acha ata baidik b'toyevais Yerushalayim, until you go and investigating the abominations of Yerushalayim, tzeil baidik b'toyevais imcha, go and investigate the abominations of your mother. Which again, because Rebbe Eliezer held that one shouldn't, where the time of this brisa holds that you do read it and you translate it. But badko acharav, they inspected after this person, umatsu b'shemetz pasul, and they found that, yeah, some trace of invalidations of a psul. Like he said, go check about your abominations of your mother before you start talking about the abominations of Yerushalayim. Now, as the Bryson mentioned, then there are ve'elu nikrim olim metargum, those that are read, but they're not translated into Aramaic. And Rabadan Simon, which are the following incidents. As we said in the Mishnah, Maisa Reuven, the story of Reuven, is nikrim olim metargum, it's read, but it's not translated into Aramaic. Now, moreover, the Gemara brings to Maisa was an incident, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, shehalach leKabul, he went to the place Kabul, ve'ikari chazna knesses, and the one in charge of the shul, he was reciting, we're reading from the Torah, where it says a pasuk in Bereishis, which is by this story where it says, Vahi Bishkoin Yisrael, was that when Yisrael was dwelling in that land, so the pasuk over there says that Reuben went and he lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and then the pasuk concludes that Yisrael heard, and the sons of Yaakov were 12. Now, so the one in charge was laning, Vahi Bishkoin Yisrael, V'amblo l'metugman, and he said to the translator, Hafsek, stop, al tetargim, don't translate what I'm about to read, Ela Achron, only the last half, which is Vayibnei Yaakov Shneim Aser. Now, this pasuk actually in the Torah is actually split with an opening as a separate parasha in one pasuk, which is not the norm. So therefore he called it Achron, as if it was a separate pasuk by itself. So basically he had the interpreter not translate the pasuk that he was reading of Vayelech Reuven v'yishkav es bilah pelegesh aviv v'shibchu chacham, and the sages praised him, which is exactly the halacha that we're saying now from this brisa, that it's read but it's not translated into Aramaic. Now, so to Maisa Egel Hasheni, the narrative of the second time when the story of the eagle was mentioned is nikar b'limud targum. It's read, but it's not translated into Aramaic. Says Gemara, Eza Maisa Egel Hasheni. What's the second narrative of the Maisa of the eagle? Says the Gemara, Min vayomer Moshe. It's from when Moshe said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you? How could you have helped them make an eagle azov?" Ad vayar Moshe, until it says when Moshe saw what had happened and then he went to take action. That whole narrative when Aaron was telling him what had happened. So Tanya Linda Bryce, Rabshim Blazaim, he says, La'ilam yehi adam zar b'tshuvayis. A person should always be careful with his responses that he gives. Shemitech tshuva sheyeshiva Aaron l'Moshe, because of the response that Aaron gave to Moshe Benu, as it's recorded in the Torah, parkra ma'arim, that caused those to be audacious and have the nerve to say that there's actually some substance to idols. Shnema, because it says in the pasuk that Aaron said, says, what do you want from me? Vashlechei ba'esh, I threw it into the fire, meaning the gold that they gave me. Vayetei egel hazeh, and this calf came out, and the terminology, didiktuk, sounds like as if it came out by itself, which is not the case, chas v'shalom, but the wording, therefore one has to be careful with the response that he says, and therefore those who know, as in all those, the Talmid Chacham, the Lashon HaKodesh, they also understand the Midrashic interpretation. The ignoramuses, the Amaratzim, who they don't understand, and they only know the Aramaic, therefore we don't translate the Aramaic because of the confusion that it might cause for them. So to Birchas Kayanim, the Kohanic blessings, that it's, as it's written in the Torah, are Nikrim Malei Mitargum. They're read, but they're not translated. Says Gemara Maitam, what's the reason? Shem Nechsev Yisa. As we know, the Baruch is Yisa Hashem Ponem Elecha V'Bichunaka. It says Hashem will carry, which is like Nesias Panim, sounds like showing favoritism. So that they shouldn't say, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows favoritism, and that's not appropriate. We know one's never allowed to do that when one is judging. Now, they won't know that the Jewish people are worthy of Hashem showing favoritism to them. As the Gemara says in Brachas, Tav Chav and Beis, answering this question, that Hashem says, aren't the Jewish people worthy of me showing favoritism to them? Because I say in Devarim Ches, V'chalta V'savata V'rachta, that if you eat and you're satiated, only then do you make Birchas Hamazon. But they're stringent on themselves, and they make Birchas Hamazon even in the share of an olive or the size of an egg. So therefore, it is appropriate, but the ignoramuses who don't understand it, therefore we don't translate into Aramaic. Now, Maisa David v'Amnon, the incident with David, meaning of his son Amnon, who he violated his sister Tamar, so there's discussion if one has the girsa loy nikrin, or to take out the word loy, which is nikri b'lim targumin, but be that as it may, even if it's read or not, it's not translated into Aramaic. Says the Gemara, but v'Amr, but you said, Maisa Amnon v'Tamar nikri u'metargum, that the story of Amnon and Tamar is read and it's translated into Aramaic. So actually the wording itself in the Braisa already has the answer, where the Maisa of David and Amnon, as we had mentioned in the Mishnah, David with Amnon, that's not translated to Aramaic. Amnon himself with Tamar, that is read and translated, as the Gemara answers, Lokash, not difficult. Hadachsev Amnon ben David. When do we say we're not translated into Aramaic? When it says Amnon the son of David. Because of the disgrace of David, we don't mention that story in Aramaic. Hadachsev Amnon Stamar, when it just mentions Amnon himself and with Tamar, that we read and we even translate into Aramaic, because that's not a disgrace to David. It doesn't mention his father David in that part of the narrative. The Gemara brings a related discussion, Tanabam Luna Braisa, Kalamakraisak Subba Tara Lignai, all the Psukim that are written in the Torah in a very coarse manner. So Karinaisalishvach, when we read it a little bit more in a positive manner. Kugain, for example, mean we soften the tone. Like the pasuk says in Devarim, when it talks about the teicha, the rebuke of the Jewish people regarding the punishment that they're going to have, so it says you're going to get engaged to a woman, but another man, the real word is yishgalena, which yishgalena is a terminology of will lay with her, and as we find in the pasuk in Nehemiah, v'hashegel yishavas etzlai, which some say it means like a female dog, but it's a very strong terminology of like of a disgrace type of laying with the woman that he's engaged to will be violated by a different man. So we read it yishkavena, will lay, but we don't read the term of mishgal. Similarly, a pasuk in Devarim says, also by the teichacha in Devarim, says Hashem will afflict you with the boils of Mitzrayim, and it says ba'afaylam, which is a more explicit terminology more than tchayrim, but both of them mean to say regarding the orifice in the rear, regarding the anus. So instead of reading Ba'afaylim, which is a very strong terminology, we read Va'atchayim, regarding the affliction that a person will have in this anal region. So to Pasuk in Malachim Beis, that says there's going to be a great famine in Shomron, and they're going to be besieged until the head of a donkey is going to cost 80 silver coins, and it's going to cost in a quarter of a kav of chiryainim is going to be 5 silver coins. Now, chiryainim actually is a combination of two words, of chari and yainim. Now, chari is a terminology of dung. The dung of pigeons are going to cost 5 silver coins. There's not going to be anything to eat, so they're going to actually have to pay a large sum to eat the dung of pigeons. So instead of that term of strong of chari, which is a strong terminology, rather we read divyainim, which divyainim, dav, is like from the term of zav, that which flows from the pigeon. Not to say explicitly that the Jewish people were eating dung in Shomron. Also, there's a pasuk in Melachim Beis that says that lechel es chayrehem, that to eat their chayri, which again means to say because the word chayr means a hole, so it refers to the waste matter that comes out through the hole, and velishtis es memishinem, and to drink the water from between the teeth, which is also a very graphic terminology, that because it's actually teeth of muscles that's in the rear of a person, which when we're talking about water coming out of there, it's that like moist waste matter that's liquidy that comes out that we call the waters of the teeth. So again, although those are the words, but when we read it a little bit more with shvach, lechel es tzeiasim. Instead of saying chayrei, and we read that to eat their waste matter, velishtis es memiraglem, and to drink their urine, but we don't say, I mean, the water from the legs, we don't say the strong terminology of memishinem. So there's a pasuk that says, lemechayrois, which is a pasuk in Sefer Malachim, which is talking about regarding idolatry. So again, lemechayrois is from the term chor, which is a hole, which is where the waste matter comes out from. So instead of using such a strong graphic terminology, we call it lemeitzois, from that which comes out from them, which is the waste matter. Now, Rabbi Shimon Karchaimah, he disagrees on this last pasuk. He says, no, lemechayrois kishman. No, there we actually recite it as it's written of lemechayrois. Why? Even though it's a graphic terminology. Because that's embarrassing idolatry, and for idolatry, we'll say graphic, explicit, embarrassing terminology. As the Gemara says, similarly, Amar of Nachman says, "Kol litzenusa asir." All types of mocking is forbidden. Barmer litzenusa da avodis kachavim the shayah, except for the mocking of idolatry, which that's permitted. Like we find the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, "Kara bal," which was one of the types of avodah zara. The bal squats. Kairis nevoi, which is also another one of the big avodah zaras of the non-Jews. He splashes. Now, it says after that, Karsu, they splash, Kari Yachtav, they kneel together, La Yachlu Malid Masa Begum, they can't contain their load, etc. Which, again, it talks disparagingly about them, where we see we use this graphic, embarrassing terminology regarding Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yana Mamahachi brings a pasuk in Nishaya. Says, La Eglis Base Oven, for the calves of Base Oven, mean to say, because of the great noise that was coming from the calves of Base Oven, which was this Avodah Zarah, Yugur Shchan Shemron. So those who dwelled in Shemron were in fear, Ki Avol Olav Amoy, because its people were mourning on it, on these calves, Uchumarav Olav Yigilu, which means to say that where the priests would always normally rejoice on this idol, now they're mourning, Al Kavod DeKigal Mimenu, because on its honor which departed from it. But the way the Gemara interprets it, Al Tikur Kvaydei, don't say because its honor was taken away from the idol, so therefore the idol worshippers are mourning. Ele Kvaydei, rather it's talking about its load was taken from it, meaning its heavy load of dung was in it, which was weighing down its buttocks. That's what's saying that like this disgraceful type of mocking of Avodah Zarah, which we see regarding Avodah Zarah, one's allowed to talk like that. Similarly, Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach Meshmid Ravacha Berida Viki says, "Surely Lebal Yisrael Lemeimer LeLoev Kachavim." A Jewish person is allowed to say to an idol worshipper, "Shakle Loev Kachavim," that he could take his idol, "Va'anche b'shin tov shalei," and put it into his shin tov, which again is a very strong terminology. So the Gemara is actually saying it as in its letters, but it's like referring to like a pasuk in Yeshaya, "V'chasufei shes erves Mitzrayim." The word shin tov, you put those two letters together, actually means buttocks. So like, take your idol and put it in that private place that you have. It's permitted for a Jew to say it to an idol worshiper. Again, in those places, we can be graphic and say a disparaging and derogatory terminology. Similarly, Amar Vashi says, Hayman desani shemani. Someone that has terrible rumors going about him, that he's an adulterer. So surely levezuyi begimel v'shin. So you're allowed to disgrace him with gimel and shin. Where Rashi brings two interpretations what that means. Where we find the Targum Yerushalmi of Bar Gir Yusa means to say that it means an office, an adulteress. So referring, the gimel refers to girta, which is saying that his mother is a zayna, and the shin is shma sarya, that she's got a bad name, which is because of her inappropriate ways. Which Rashi says that's how it's brought in the Chubas Hagayinim. We allow to disgrace his mother that gave birth to him, you know, because seeing what he's doing, like you're allowed to talk disparagingly like that about his mother. Or he brings another interpretation that the gimel refers to giyufa, which means an adulterer, and the shin refers to shayata shatya, which actually can mean someone who's straying and in an imbecile. But again, you're allowed to talk disparaging about this person who is acting in very inappropriate ways. Now, Haiman de Shafish Amani, someone who there's good rumors going about him, Sharli Shabuchi, you're allowed to praise him. Uman de Shabchin, whoever praises such a person, Yunuchle Brachas al Resha, will have blessings placed on his heads. I mean, you want to talk good about a good person because that increases the honor and the dignity of good people and what they do. Hanula Hakarias and Megillah Oimid, we shall return to the third parak of Sectus Megillah, parak Hakarias Megillah Oimid, which spoke about primarily about the reading of the Megillah and related laws of Kriyas HaTorah, and then that of Tefillah, and then of inappropriate Tefillahs, which but all started regarding the laws of Kriyas HaMegillah, like it spoke about in the previous parak.